Well, good morning, everybody. As you were up here talking, Brad, there's a few points that came up, and a few more points, and I'm like, I don't know where to start. One of the things that you started off with was in Matthew, you're talking about that willingness to fight, that willingness to go forward. You're not even worthy to fight the fight. How is God even going to listen to you? You know, one of the things that we got to remember, I mean, we got to really put in perspective, is that it's all about what the Lord is able to do. Okay? I mean, it's all about what He's able to do. We were singing that song about what the Lord's able to do. It's not anything that what we are capable of doing. And it really reminded me of in Philippians 2, it says, 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Look, it's not one that we manifest this willingness to even go forward to do His will. I mean, that is just, it's not within me unless the Lord put it in me to do it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, my will is so contrary to God's will, it's not even funny. I mean, it's an absolute, like, 180 degree one from the other. But see, it's all about what He is able to do. Now, one of the things is, you're talking about people coming to the light here. I mean, you can come in here, you can hear the truth, you can every Sunday, but if you don't make that choice to believe it and believe Him for it, to actually give you that will to go forward and to give you those things to go forward, then what makes you think you're going to receive it? I mean, you can come in here, listen to every Bible study online, every service online, but, I mean, it's really up to you what you want to do. I mean, He's given you free will. The thing that He's given you free will, though, is He's actually given you the free will to choose Him. I mean, before, you were just bound to this flesh. But one of the things, I had it. There was a thing that I wanted to highlight in that whole thing. But praise God, I don't know. I've lost it. But is it simply just that? I mean, we can spend our time focusing. I know you were talking about Peter there in an instance, and one of the things was, it was necessary for the Lord to say, "Where didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith?" I mean, that was absolutely necessary. I mean, because if He just picked Peter up, I mean, good job, you stepped out of the boat. At least you stepped out of the boat, man. Well on your way. No. No, see, when you step out and you go forward in the Lord, there is going to be correction. It's not for your harm. It's not for your destruction. No, it's that you get refined in the knowledge of Him and the knowledge of His way and His will. But the important thing is to keep stepping out. Take heed to that correction. Take heed to it. Because that is the thing that is for your good. And see, after a while, what ends up happening is you love the truth. Even though it testifies against you, you love the truth. Because the truth, what does what? It sets you free. It sets you free. And the thing, yeah, that's, now it just came back to me. The thing that I wanted to highlight is, one thing that we got to understand is that the Lord never changes. He never moves, and He's always faithful, and He's always righteous, and He hasn't moved one bit. And there's so many times in that fight, in that battle that you're talking about there, where we look at this and we we see that, like, Lord, where are you? Lord, I'm not even worthy. How can the Lord even hear me? You know, all these things, okay? All these things is doubt, folks. All this stuff is sin. It's all nonsense. Yeah, you're not worthy. That's the point. That's why he died for you. That's why he died for you. But see, the Lord does not move, does not change. What moves is us. See, that's who moves. Okay? That's who moves. It's us. And the fight is to cast off that unbelief, that nonsense that holds us back, the excuses that we so easily come up with that holds us back from going forward and walking in the fullness of what God has called us to walk in. See, it is knocking that garbage down. Because it does not matter. God's not a respecter of persons. It's not matter how big you are, how tall you are, how strong you are, how capable, how incapable, how worthy, how unworthy. None of these things matter. None of these things matter. We were actually talking about that a little bit last night. God's not a respecter of persons. But God doesn't change. And you can go to Him. He's faithful. He's just. He's right. He doesn't move. It's us that moves. We can come up with all kinds of excuses why we're not walking in what the Lord has called us to walk in. We can make all kinds of excuses why we're not free in Him. We can come up with all kinds of stuff. Why we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't, I can't, I can't. The truth of the matter is when we say that, we're really saying, I won't, I will not, I will not, I will not. That's really the truth of it. It's an excuse. That's what it is. It's an excuse. And we don't have to stay there. See, coming to that light, man, it comes to testify, man, the only reason why I am not walking victorious in Jesus Christ and has take hold of the freedom which He has given me is because of me. I mean, man, when you come to the truth of that, all right, and when a minister presents that to us, in the way that we can understand, we have a choice. We can get pissed and walk away and justify ourselves, or we can sit there and grab the whole of the truth and say, well, praise God. Now I want to walk in that freedom, Lord. Thank you for showing these things to me. Lord, I repent. Now show me your way. He goes, here you go. Here it is. Remember that you were reading in John. For Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Look, everybody's in condemnation who doesn't know Jesus. That's the natural state. He didn't come to bound people up. No, he came to set the captives free. He came to set the captives free. For us to walk in no condemnation. See, that's what he's came to do. But the thing that gets highlighted for us is a choice to take the things that hold us captive and say, those things are no good, and I turn away from them. I cast them out. Not huddle up to them. Not huddle up to them. I mean, that's what happens with us, man. They look nice. They look pretty, man. The things that made us comfortable, and it justified us for not going forward in these things, and it strokes our pride. So, man, I don't want to let go of that. That made me feel good. Which a lot of things that make you feel good is actually very bad for you. See, humility does not feel good to the flesh. It is the thing that sets you free. The thing that Davy ministered unto you, Brad, was he pulling you out of that fire is made you real, pointed out the things that were holding you back. That self-importance that, I mean, you held yourself in a high regard and it was bad for you. And there's a little humility that came along with those things. And what does it say to Scripture say? God resists the proud, but give grace to what? The humble. See, the things that didn't make you feel good, it went against your pride. That's why it was so offensive. That's why to you, you perceived it as not compassionate. That's why you perceived it as mean. No, it was all pride. And the thing that was going to drag you down to hell unless you turned around. No, that's what was going on there. And see, when these things get highlighted to us, oh, what an offense, isn't it? It's an offense. To the flesh, you're absolutely right. But it's actually there to set you free. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Where didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith?" It didn't say Peter goes, "Jesus, at least I got out of the boat. I'm justified for not believing just then at that moment." No, it's not what he said. Oh, crap. He didn't say that either. I can just imagine it. I can see myself in the midst of that thing. All right, Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. Forgive me for not looking at you. Forgive me for doubting your word, because it's all about you, Lord. And it's all about what you're able to do. It has not a dang thing. And I really want to use the other word because it really, really puts it in perspective. It has not anything to do with what I can do, what I can manifest, what I'm capable of. It has to do with everything that you're able to do, Lord. It doesn't even have anything to do with my faith. Praise God. It has everything to do with your faith. Your faith that you've given me. And with that, I can walk in the success that you've called me to walk in. So no more excuses, folks. No more "I'm not worthy." No more "I can't because I'm this way." No more, it's just because that truth, it offends me. Or that person told me something I didn't like. No more, I mean, these are all excuses. "Because I was scheduled short this week, I could not walk in your love." BS. I was one I had to face up with this week. Sure is. What does it say in John? I want to go to the Epistle of John. And in 1 John chapter 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Faithful and just. He has not moved, folks. His forgiveness is still there. You have not screwed up bad enough for you to not walk in the freedom that he's called you to walk in. It starts right there. If we confess our sins, look, there's that honesty. Lord, this is what I've been. I've been a jerk. I've been making excuses of why I can't go forward in your will and walk in your way. And I don't want to have that no more, Lord. Please forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Lord. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Look, he would have you not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Look, he did not hang on that cross for no reason. He paid the price for every single one of you in here so that you may attain eternal life and to walk forward in his will and his army right here, right now. That is the opportunity that he laid down his life for you to have. What are you going to do with it? And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There it is. It's an opportunity for the whole world. Father wills that none be lost. But people have free will. You have free will. I mean, you can make all the excuse in the world why you can't receive this, go forward in this, but it's not going to suffice come to the last day if you don't grab a hold of that freedom and that eternal salvation that he has. I mean, to me, it's a great gift. I mean, I know the wages of sin is death, man. I don't want death. I don't have to have death. I can have eternal life. That's what Jesus gave me. That's what I'm going to go reach for. That's what I'm going to go grab a hold of. And no matter how offensive the light is or the truth is to that old man, because that old man needs to die. He was supposed to die. I'm not supposed to be listening to it anymore. We just had a baptism last week. Supposed to come up dead to that old guy. Hang him up back up on the cross. Folks, the Lord has not changed. He has not moved. He is still there. Okay? Remember when you accepted Jesus Christ, he forgave you of that sin. He washed away all those things. And your heart was filled with joy and gladness. Folks, that hasn't moved. It's still right there for you. If you're not there anymore, it's not because he has changed or moved. It's because we have changed and moved. And it's something, if it's a sin that is keeping you back from attaining and going forward and you don't feel worthy and you can't even go and talk to him, that's a lie, folks. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's exactly what Satan wants, is not you going to the cross and receiving the freedom that Jesus has for you. That's exactly what he wants. But man, if you would just go on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me, I screwed up. There it is. It's right there for you. The same joy when you came to him. The same freedom. The same forgiveness. The same lifting of the burdens. The same rolling away. It's still there. That's an awesome thing. I tell you, that's the only thing that can get me to get back up and go forward once again. Because let me tell you, folks, I'm a master of screwing up royally. Freaking poster child for it. Yet he is good and he is reign, and that what he did on the cross is bigger than any of my screw up. And guess what? Is bigger than any of your screw up. And is bigger than any of the things that you have done, what you've walked away from, the things that you justified yourself in. He's bigger than all of those things. All of them. And it does not matter if you would yet just humble yourself, go to him, and let him set you free, man. It's right there for you. So let's grab a hold of that freedom. Let's not have him take what he's given you in vain and throw it away. No, let's take a hold of it and not let go of it. Because that is our lifeline, is Jesus and what he's done. Amen. I'm done for this.